See, that's the whole point, John. Obviously, all right, you said you got into this because you didn't want to believe the government was complicit or that there was some fraud or whatever involved. At this point, though, obviously you've turned up enough information that you know there's a cover-up going on here.
Oh, no, I've seen them lying. I've called them lying out their teeth, buddy.
Right.
I mean, what really convinced me, beyond a shadow of a doubt, was the NTSB data. That is such an obvious misinformation campaign right there. It ain't even funny.
Yeah.
That stuff is so doctored. Yeah. It just ain't even funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it took so long to release it, and then basically every piece of data that they released is clearly manipulated in some way, shape, or form. So that's why...
disinformation campaign.
Right, well, what's the point of that? Why would they need disinformation unless they're covering something up?
Because, well... I'm talking from this engineering standpoint. You've heard I was talking about signal noise.
Right.
You got to throw noise into the picture, which means Miss Baloney, okay? And that covers up what really happened because what? For example, if you got 15 people over here saying one thing, and then you have, like I said, I don't know, but the North Plain or the South Plain, I don't know which is which right now, to be honest with you. But let's say Lagasse and them saw the actual plane, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're buried in a bunch of other stuff, right?
Yep.
Okay. I've got witnesses, of the notes that I've got here, I've got witnesses down south that have it coming up 395. I've got others that got it coming straight down from Columbia Pike way on out there. Got other set of witnesses got it coming in north of the Navy Annex. I mean, you got three different, you know, possibilities there.
True, but you got to analyze it.
I'm sorry?
Well, you got to look at how definitive their statement is in regards to their location. You know what I'm saying? If you got somebody out on 395 that's saying it's coming over the Navy Annex, they don't know if it's north or south of the Navy Annex.
The only thing I want from witnesses is where they were.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And they saw a plane. That's all I want.
What did the plane look like, John, though? This is so important. That's what I mean.
No, I don't really care about that at this point. For me, my purposes. Because my purposes are, if there's two planes or three planes or one plane, that'll show up in that data. Okay, so at this point, what the plane is, I don't really care. Okay, I just want to know where that person's at, general direction of where the plane's going, general where they were, because that's more important. Where they were, exactly where they were standing, what they could see, and what they could not see.
Well,
and time frame, you know, that's great. Now, that's for me.
Well, you're going to salivate. You're going to salivate. You're going
to
salivate at what we're going to present the rest of the witnesses that we have, because all it does is establish the flight path.
Yeah. So once I do that, I mean, once you do that, then you can do here's something I used to do. I wrote the process control handbook for DuPont, for Global, okay? Mm-hmm. And here's an exercise that we did for every class that we taught our employees, because that was part of US 9000, every employee workforce. We had to teach them the basics of statistical process control. And what we'd have every class do, and I don't care if it's a custodian, we would sit down and present, usually we'd have a class about 20 to 30 people. And I would show a slide or a PowerPoint that would have some text. And basically, what the people in the class were to do were to count the number of Fs. Okay? That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Count the number of Fs. I give them a certain time to do it. You know, they count the number of Fs. Guaranteed every time, you had a bunch of different values. You know, in reality, there was a certain number of Fs in the text. Okay. But you would get a variety of responses.
Yeah.
And then we would take those variety of responses, and then we'd create a histogram, and then we would plot against the histogram the normal distribution, and every time, you know, it'd start filling up the bell curve. Because that's normal. That's the same thing with any witness out there.
Well, right? The problem is, within that pool, you don't have any witnesses mm-hmm. that were planted to give you numbers that were incorrect on purpose.
Well, yeah, well, now wait a minute. But if they do give me something that's incorrect, that's what's, see, this is key. If you get something like that, we call that special calls. And statistically, you can identify special calls. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Once you once you get enough information, the special causes stand out.
Right.
And that's what I was talking about with the noise. I'm going back again to do some more work just for fine-tuning my little model thing I'm building. But, I mean, you know, the first thing I've noticed in the 3D-ing is that the Pentagon gate cameras, no way.
Right.
No way. Okay, that plane came in, hit those two poles. It had a certain angle of attack coming in. Okay, the Pentagon gate cameras had the thing sitting on the ground.
Yeah, they're fake.
That's not even reality.
But that is the way the plane would have had to have been to match up with the physical damage of the building.
I'm just saying it just don't even wash with me.
But they did that on purpose because all of the damage is limited to the first two floors of the building.
Well, now, I don't go 100% on witnesses. Like I said, I require 3 data points. If I got a witness, then I got something tangible, physical, okay, a photograph, something, that'll collaborate the witness one way or the other, okay? Anything. Like the devil tree. And that's what I'm saying. It's so poor quality. It's hard to be definitive.
The DoubleTree doesn't show anything.
But there is a sequence, which if you draw them out on the north side, there's a sequence of unexplained poofs that come up over the interstate, which coincide with the location of that overpass. But they occur, I think it's 2 to 3 seconds before impact. At the velocity of the plane, it's hitting those things. I have to go back and look at my numbers. It's been a few months since I worked them up. But I still haven't identified those poofs. One of them is a vehicle, I know. But there's one that's clearly something. Because it extends up, it's got some dark on the top of it.
We thought we could see something continue on past the Pentagon, like really fast. But, you know, that was just to the
Those artifacts are so... there are video artifacts. And like I said, there's a whole bunch of things that you could say might be something.
Right.
You know, it might be something. It's like I've got something that lines up. I don't know if it's an abnormality or what it is, but it coincides with that dimming of the sunlight, you know, that's observable in the window. Have you ever had a plane fly between the sun and your house and how the light dims in the windows?
Yeah.
I live near an airport, so it happens every day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, at 39 seconds into the event on the TikTok video, you notice that in one of the windows.
I can see that. I think they put that there on purpose. That'd be so easy to add.
Mm-hmm.
I think they altered the video for the points to show there was something on the south side without releasing the views that showed anything on the north side. And it's clear.
No, I think you're confusing with, now this is post-impact. This is 39 seconds. Impact would have been right around 37 and a half seconds.
Right, they're implying.
37 and a half to 38. This is at 39.
Totally
away.
I know, they make it look
like... I don't think it's to throw away. The reason I say that is because there's just too much... There's just too much. That could be disinformation. I don't know.
No, it's indicating
there were helicopters in the area. And on the DoubleTree, we clearly have a double helicopter about 10 minutes before. And let's see. I don't know. I can't be dogmatic about anything. But in the end, once you start putting it all together, you know, if there's a coherent pattern, it'll show up just like that bell curve that I was talking about. It'll show up. And you were talking about the baloney that's in there. Well, it's going to show up as what we call in engineering special cause.
Well, that's what's happening, man.
A second distinct pattern, but not as clear.
That's what's happening. That's what's becoming clear to us with the witnesses. In particular, Lloyd, Frank Probst, and Stephen McGraw.
You know what it proves to me now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, and you're going to talk about what it proves beyond a shadow of a doubt, is that the Pentagon and the government, they agencies are feeding misinformation, that means they're trying to cover something up. And that's been sad. I mean, I've got so many documented lies of these guys. It's just not even. They're trying to cover something up.
Right. But you don't really think that about Brooks and Legassi. I mean, obviously they're not tools. They were fooled.
By who?
Brooks and Legassi, Pentagon police officers.
Oh, I don't know. Legassi, I'm just like, you know, when he's going like, I know for a fact that that taxi was over here. I'm going like, looking like, you idiot. You should know better than that.
Well,
you know, I mean,
but like you said, that's what proves he's honest, because what he's doing is he doesn't know the facts. He didn't study the facts. He's just going off of what he saw and what he remembered. There's no reason his mind would remember the exact placement of that cab, because number one, he didn't see the cab.
Well, you know what I'll know about Legassi, though. He froze.
Yeah.
He's trying to say this and that and the other just to make himself look, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Embellish himself a lot.
Yes.
But the fact of the matter is, I mean, you can tell in the video, he froze.
Yeah.
I mean, he just froze.
He admitted it. He flinched and jumped in his car. So he didn't see the impact. He didn't see the yaw. All that stuff. He didn't see the American Airlines color. But obviously, he did see a plane on the north side of that station, because that's where everyone else saw it. And like,
If he saw the plane, which I believe he did, he'd had to see it on the north side, because from where he was at, there's no way he could see the southern path.
Well, boom, there you go. That is proof, man.
Yeah.
The fact that these people independently place it there, it's proof that the scene was staged, because there's just no reason, if they're going to have a real plane making the physical damage and hitting the building, that they got to have another one flying on the north side of the station. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, it does in a way.
What?
Because if you wanted to, number one, if you play the scenario, which is, this is the one that I particularly have seen a lot of evidence for, you have a scenario where Al-Qaeda has a plot to do what they did. Okay? Mm-hmm. Intelligence community knew about that plot well back in 2000. Okay. If some folks in the intelligence military complex jumped on that bandwagon to the degree that they enabled it, there's no way all these guys got past security checkpoints on September 11th without a little help from somebody. I don't think Otto got in here without a little help.
So you haven't studied the timeline of the hijackers at all, have you?
Yeah, I have a little bit, but not previous to 9/11, though.
Okay, well, that's what you need to look into, the lives of each of these hijackers and the actual doubles and the stories. I mean, there's more than one of plenty of these guys, proven. Absolutely proven.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like the guy that they picked, was it Mustali or whatever? They said on him. Somebody sequestered. I mean, they kept talking about the wall. Bull crap. You know?
Yeah.
Somebody sequestered that guy. And, you know, the information that guy might have had, because he was in an alarm. Okay?
Yeah.
But anyway, if you go with that scenario, then they let it start. We had guys on board because the Solicitor General's wife was on board that plane.
Right.
Supposedly. Okay. And that plane flown over the top along the North Pass. Some plane, whatever, comes along the Southern Path and does the actual impact. And basically what they do is, because of the flight recorder of the one that flew over, and take it to the scene. So... That's one possibility.
It wasn't Flight 77, John. It just was not. I guarantee it. It was not even an American Airlines plane. It couldn't be, because people would see an American Airlines plane fly over the building. They have cover stories, John. That's how they did it. I mean, the plane flew over the building, and the reason they were able to get away with it, even though people saw it happen, was, number one, it was a perfectly timed sleight-of-hand illusion. So most people are fooled when they see the fireball. Their attention goes to that, so they think, okay, it hit the building, while in reality, the plane kept going.
Yeah.
But number two, the ones on the other side of of the Pentagon who saw it fly over, or the ones in the Crystal City high-rise buildings who saw a plane veer away.
See, I haven't seen, that's the one thing I'm having trouble with, is I haven't seen anybody who actually saw it fly over.
Well,
that to me, somebody would have to.
Well, they did. So, they did. The thing,
I haven't seen that.
The thing is, what you do see, though, are published accounts of a second plane shadowing it. Okay, a second.
Yeah, I have seen that. Yeah.
Now that these get blended with the reality, which was it was the plane. We talked to Keith Wheelhouse. There is no second plane that was following it that veered off and away. Now, in other words, if there was, that would look the same as a plane flying over the Pentagon. You understand?
Well, you see, here's my problem with the one you're talking about, the one plane flying across the Navy Annex and whipping back. That is too sharp an angle for a plane. It's 500 something miles in a time that
it wasn't going that fast.
I'd have to see some physics number on that.
It wasn't going
possible.
It was not going that fast. That's the fake FDR speed. At that point, it was.
I don't know.
We don't think it was.
I have to see. I'm going to have to see some.
We're going to have a real life.
The one thing you're going to learn about anybody who's an engineer or professes to be an engineer.
Uh-huh.
We deal with hard, cold facts. Okay, hardcore, tangible data we can work with. If we can't do it with that data, it don't exist.
Well, you can, because all the hardcore facts here are supplied by the perpetrators and vetted by the perpetrators. Yeah. So that's the bottom line. All you've got are eyewitnesses.
But the witnesses, what I'm saying is, here's what I'm saying. This is for the witnesses to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you're pushing them a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, they're data points.
Right, sure.
Okay?
No,
they saw at this time.
Right.
Okay. That's really what I need. And
I agree.
Of course, I'm a human being too. I'm kind of curious about what they did see, et cetera, et cetera. But from me, okay, for my purposes, what I need is the data point. They were here. They saw.
But they're all
the general heading. I mean, I don't need down to the general heading. Okay. And in other words, it was going east. You know what I'm saying? But they were here.
Well, this is why Edwards' account is.
And the closer you can get here to find, then you know what they could and could not see.
This is why Edwards' account is so important, too. Because you seem to blow off Edwards' account, but he really specifically has the plane in a specific direction that counters the official story and backs up the Sitko witnesses.
Yeah. But see, I don't. I assume, okay, this is built in. I assume error. Mm-hmm. Everything somebody says. I don't think anybody's, as a matter of fact, from my experience, nobody gets it right.
Right.
Okay?
No, I agree.
But, okay, what I'm looking for is that normal distribution, that bell curve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now there may be there's going to be some false stuff in there, noise. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's going to form a pattern of its own, too. And that's the key.
That's what's happening.
Then you isolate your noise from your signal, because once you define what the noise is, once it starts showing a pattern, then you can take it out.
Okay, well, I really...
Does that make any sense?
It absolutely does, and that's what we're reviewing here with the witnesses. We see the witnesses as data points, and there's a lot of them. That's the thing. So we've studied them heavily, each and every one of them, every account that exists. We've sought them out. We've called them. We've talked to them. We're knocking on doors. Now, this Lloyd guy, that's what I'm saying, he's so key, because he's the point where the witnesses and the physical evidence meet. And it's also the point where the physical evidence begins. Bottom line, I recommend you pay special attention to the Lloyd England account and the light poles, because there are plenty of pictures of that event. We have pictures, private pictures that they gave us of his cab as well. And this is so suspicious. It stinks to high heaven. Once you look at Lloyd, you'll see that this information was staged, that the light poles, in the very least, were staged. There's just no question.
Well, let me rephrase this, because I have not been able to prove, okay, because I require, this is my personal requirement,
mm-hmm.
three data points,
mm-hmm.
okay, on the DoubleTree. And this is, I did a little post on it, never did say anything more about it because I had my suspicions.
Mm-hmm.
There's clearly evidence that there was an explosion in the vicinity of that intersection where that cab is. And I can't think off the top of my head, but it's a good 2 to 3 seconds before impact.
You can't see that intersection.
And if that pans out, buddy, then what you're saying is true.